The epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." And the Pharisees being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say to him, "David's." He saith to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Jesus saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. Words taken from the Gospel of St. John, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, yesterday we celebrated the great feast of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. And so this morning I would like to take this opportunity to speak to you about the Sorrowful Mother. I remember a few years ago I came across an article in the news about a husband and wife who had lost their son 17 years ago in the tragic events of 9/11. They had come to the Memorial Park in Manhattan for the very first time. The interviewer had asked them a few questions about their son and what he was like. Then the parents went on to explain that they had started their own memorial foundation in honor of their son. The interviewer asked the mother then, "When was it after your son's death that you could stop crying and figure out what you were going to do in memory of him?" And the mother first answered, "The sorrow and grief are still there. I still cry," she said. She explained that the sorrow for her son will always be there, that it would never leave. And she went on to say that her son would never have those things which other people usually take for granted, for instance, a home and family. And then she said something that kind of struck me. It really hit home, so to speak, of how selfless a mother can be. This mother, still mourning the loss of her son, said, "My grief is more for what my son has lost than for what I have lost." In other words, she thought of her son more than herself. These surely were the natural words of a grieving mother who loves her child with an unselfish love, a mother who thinks not of herself, but of her child alone. And this brought me to think of how much love is contained in the heart of our Blessed Mother. For what sorrow and grief must she have endured on the hill of Calvary? There, our Blessed Lady, the most perfect mother, she watched Jesus, her only son, die a most shameful and ignominious death upon the cross. St. Jerome says, every torture inflicted on the body of Jesus was a wound in the heart of the mother. Thus all the torments and agonies Jesus suffered, Mary, his mother, also suffered in her heart. Our Blessed Lady watched as the cruel executioners shamefully stripped Jesus of his garments. She looked on in anguish as they drove the nails into the hands and feet of her beloved child. And then he was raised up on the cross for all to see. Our Lady heard the blasphemies and the mockeries from the crowd. And all St. John, the evangelist, had to write to explain this in his gospel, he wrote very simply, "And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother." St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that in these few words, St. John believed he had said enough to describe Mary's martyrdom. But as Mary stood there watching her son writhe in agony, she knew he did this for the sins of men. She knew that he was suffering for the salvation of souls. And so on that hill of sorrows, our divine Savior gave her over to us to be our mother. He said to her, "Woman, behold thy son." And then to St. John, "Behold thy mother." Thus Our Lady is our mother, and her heart longs for us to save our souls. In fact, she desires the salvation of our souls more than we do because of her great love. And so, my dear friends, what grief and sorrow must be inflicted on the heart of our Blessed Mother then, when she sees her children fall into mortal sin? It pierces her immaculate and sorrowful heart because, first of all, she knows that sin is an offense against her son. She knows that mortal sin does infinite violence to the sacred heart of her divine son. But secondly, she sees the consequences of what happens when her children die in the state of mortal sin. At Fatima, she told us this. It was in the July apparition that Our Lady appeared to the three children. And at that time, she showed them the souls suffering in the flames of hell. And the children, when they saw this vision, were terrified. Lucia described that Our Lady showed them a vast sea of fire. "Plunged in this fire," she said, "we saw the demons and the souls of the damned. The latter were like transparent burning embers," she explained, "all blackened or burnished bronze, having human forms. They were floating about in that conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames which issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke. Now they fell back on every side like sparks in huge fires. Amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, she said, which horrified us and made us tremble with fright. The children then looked to Our Lady, and Our Lady said, you have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, she said, Our Lord wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If people will do what I tell you, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace in the world. Our Blessed Mother then went on to ask for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart and for the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. These are the words of a true and perfect mother. What a great concern she has for her children. She does not want them to be lost in the fires of hell. And so she asks us to pray for them. My dear friends, the loss of a child is the greatest tragedy that a mother could suffer. It is one of the worst, perhaps even the worst, sorrows that any human being could ever suffer. But the loss of a child, naturally speaking, pales in comparison to the loss of one immortal soul. This is so because the loss of a soul to the flames of hell will last for all eternity. You know that they use the phrase, never forget, to remind people of the 9/11 tragedy. And that's fine. But my dear friends, we must never forget this tragedy, which takes place every day. We must never forget the tragedy that millions of souls are falling like snowflakes, as Our Lady mentioned once to Jacinta. They are falling like snowflakes into the fires of hell for all eternity. We must never forget why Our Lady embraced those seven swords of sorrow. She accepted this unspeakable pain and grief for us. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, by the merits of Mary's sorrows, she cooperated in our birth to the life of grace, and thus we are the children of her sorrows. In other words, by enduring the pains of Calvary, Our Lady won for us the grace of eternal life. St. Alphonsus says that this great torment then, which Mary endured for us, a torment that was more than 1,000 deaths, he says, it deserves both our compassion and our gratitude. Let us then show our compassion and gratitude to this sorrowful mother. But let us show this to her in a very practical way. And we do this first and foremost by avoiding sin and the near occasions of sin. Do not add to her grief and sorrow by placing yourselves in the near occasions of mortal sin. Guard yourselves and your children against the impurity and immodesty found on the television and in the music, and especially on the internet. Do not allow that filth into your homes. Be most vigilant with your children. This is something that cannot be stressed enough. Too many souls in the modern world today are being corrupted at a younger and a younger age. And it is due in no small part to the lack of vigilance by the parents. Stay close to the sacraments and remove all that would offend her son. Because as Our Lady said at Fatima, "Stop offending my son, for he is already too much offended." Honor our Holy Mother by praying the Rosary every day, and especially together with the family. Meditate on each mystery in a spirit of love and compassion for Our Lady. And finally, in order to show your gratitude to the sorrowful Mother for all she has done for you, make the 5 first Saturdays. Our Lady came down from heaven to Fatima, and she made this specific request of us. Never forget, my dear friends, never forget that Our Lady weeps over our sins. Never forget that she desires our salvation more than we do. Never forget that we owe Our Lady our love and gratitude because she suffered her 7 swords of sorrow for the salvation of our souls. And so just as we may feel compassion for that poor mother who lost her son in 9/11, and all other mothers who have experienced the death of their child, let us have compassion on the sorrowful mother who for us suffered the loss of her divine son. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.